What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you in part by part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Your host, Gino Camilleri, coming to you again on this scorching hot Wednesday afternoon here in Buffalo, New York. It is July 10th. We're in the middle of summer, roaring up for training camp. You guys know I'm excited. I mentioned it on my last show where I was tearing up the depth charts without Lou, that we're a little under a month away from the Eagles' first preseason action, and that's where things are going to start to get very interesting. You know how I felt about players last time on my show when I went into tearing up the depth charts. I'm going to tweet out that today. I forgot to do so, so I apologize. I will show you all the tiers that I had laid out. You can listen to my reasoning for said tiers on the previous show, which I did on Monday the 8th. If you need a reference, get that on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On Eagles podcast will be there. So for today's show, we are going to change it up, and I'm going to stay in the theme of music. And we got horses in the back, but not in the backfield. We got horses on this roster. We're talking about dark horses that we have to come out of this 2019 season. Players that I think are going to really make their name known, become a household name, not just for Eagles fans, but start to get some eyeballs around the NFL. And I'm going to touch on one of my favorite players on this Eagles roster. That'll probably give away who the first one are going to be. And then I'm going to have two more players on the defensive side of the football. The first one will be on the offensive side of the football. Then we'll move into the two defensive players. But the depth that this Eagles roster has presents a unique opportunity for a lot of these players that are going to be playing big-time minutes to fill in roles which were left behind by players such as Corey Grant, by players such as Chris Long that were gone in the offseason, by players such as some of the wide receivers that left town. Now you have a new group in there, the running backs, the backup quarterback position, the backup offensive line, backup linebacking position. There are plenty of positions to be had on this roster, and I feel like a lot of these guys fighting for positions are going to compete. They're going to make the roster, and they're going to be on the active 46, contributing and making plays. And outside of the big names that they brought into town like Malik Jackson, you're going to start to hear some of these dark horse names come out, because every single season there are gems that come out of every single team. Rookies, guys that have been around the league for a couple years, these journeyman type players, they finally find their role in a team, and they can really excel. You look at Tim Jernigan, he was pretty much what he was in Baltimore before he came to Philadelphia. He was playing in a position that he was very unaware of. He was playing that 3-4 nose tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle. He was on the interior there. And that really wasn't his natural fit, that two-gap fit. He was a more one-gap, get-after-the-football type player that he played at Florida State. And another Florida State player, Josh Sweat, was playing out of position at Florida State. Now he comes to Philadelphia. He's playing that 4-3 defensive end position. These guys are finding the right roles, and there are going to be guys that slide into these positions of depth that are going to get meaningful minutes. So before we get into segment two, where we're going to start to touch on that, just some quick Eagles news, some quick news around the NFL. Comes out today that Houston will not hire a general manager for the 2019 season. Bill O'Brien will be taking complete control of that team for this upcoming year. Very interesting. It's weird to see teams function at a lesser capacity than Philadelphia has in their front office, because you kind of want to follow the landscape of successful teams, the Brady's, the Belichick-type franchises, the Howie Rosemans, the Cowboys of the past two decades ago. We won't give them too much credit that they haven't had success since VHS tapes were around. But getting back to it, Houston is rolling without a GM. Many thought that Joe Douglas would take on that position, but things can get very interesting now. Maybe the GM that they had in place in 2018 wasn't as willing to give up pieces such as a Jadeveon Clowney and move them out of town. I know there's a lot of speculation that he might be on the move, so stay tuned for that. Just a brief update there. And then another very piece of exciting news is that Carson Wentz is healthy. Carson Wentz is now down in Houston, Texas, not North Dakota, with all of his wide receivers friends. Came out today a video of Matt Collins playing ping pong with Carson Wentz. So add it to our speculation that Lou and I have that Matt Collins isn't alive. He's absolutely alive, and I think he's going to have a big season this year. And it's great to see Carson healthy, up and at it with his wide receivers. They're going to grow. They're going to get this feel for each other, work out their timing. And really, I hope these young guys start to grow. I hope Carson continues to target Alshon Jeffrey. I hope he grows a great rapport with DeSean Jackson and continues to make Nelson Agholor look good, because it's a big season, not just for Carson Wentz, but for these Eagles receivers as well. They want to come out. They have a chip on their shoulder. Alshon Jeffrey, more than anybody, has a chip on his shoulder in Philadelphia after the way last season ended. So it's good to see Carson healthy. It's good to see the guys down there getting in some work right before training camp. I can't wait to see what they do when we get some film of them in training camp and hear the reports out of there. But I'm sure those guys, they're having some fun down there, having some laughs, growing a connection, because that's what you want to see. If there was any question that this is Carson's team, it has been answered by this point. These guys respect Carson. They went out of their way. They set up a trip. They didn't have to. This is a voluntary thing, but they wanted to spend time. They wanted to grow with their leader, and Carson is the leader of this franchise to take them forward. But not everybody is as important to this team as Carson Wentz is, and that's what we're going to get into in the second and third segment of this show, where we're going to outline three dark horse players who I think, not so much dark horses to make the roster, but more dark horses to make a very big impact for this Eagles team. And I think there's some good names, some names that are going to pop out, and you're going to be remembering week 2, 3, and beyond, and say, hey, sure glad we have those guys on our team. So come on back for segment 2 on this July 10th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Everybody, welcome on back to the second segment of this Wednesday, July 10th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you solo today as Lou continues to recover from his surgery. Should be back up at it tomorrow. Hopefully we have a good show coming for you the next couple days of this week. And man, I can't wait to get back into training camp. Lou and I are rip-roaring and ready to go. Almost been a year since we've been together. I can't wait for round 2. I'm excited for you guys to join us along the way, and I'm excited for a lot of pieces that this Eagles roster has. And I'm going to start it out with my favorite addition to this team, and the one guy that I really think is going to go out there, put his skill set on display, put out every skill that got him drafted in the second round of this previous draft. And no, it's not Miles Sanders. It's my favorite player. Coming out of the draft, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Why do I say this? So the Eagles have plenty of pass-catching options, of course. They have the two tight ends that are going to be the twin towers there. You have Alshon Jeffrey, you have the great DeSean Jackson, and you have Nelson Agholor. One thing that has hindered this Eagles team is the depth at that wide receiver position. You look at early 2018, the first couple weeks there, when Nick Foles had nobody to pass to besides Nelson Agholor. He had Zach Ertz. He's throwing passes to Josh Perkins, for goodness sake. Now the Eagles have the depth to get it done, in my personal opinion. I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, if Alshon Jeffrey is to go down, can play that receiver role. He is a big body. He gets it done in the intermediate areas of the field. He's great at contested catches, and he has a knack to be able to separate downfield. That may sound a lot like Alshon Jeffrey, but no, I am talking about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They play a very similar skill set of ball. They both don't have flashy downfield quickness, but they're able to separate. And that's what's key in this NFL, this day and age, is separation. And PFF had a great stat on this, that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, even if he doesn't create that separation, he's the best at contested catches coming out of this draft. He was unbelievable. He had the most opportunities in this draft class, 74 contested catch opportunities, as opposed to the next closest, who was 59. And he came down with 54% of those contested catches. So you have a guy that is able to separate at the top of his stem. He's able to get in and out of his cuts. Not the smoothest cutter, but he has decent feet for a guy of his size. He's going to catch the ball. He's got great hands. I go back and watch the Oregon game. Some of the contested catches he made will have me and my fellow Duck fans having nightmares till the day we die in that absolutely horrendous downfall in that Stanford game. But, man, this kid is absolutely unbelievable. Just going down PFF's list of their scouting report from this previous draft, he was third overall in the class at 90.2. His receiving grade was 89.7. Yards per route run was 3.03 at 10th overall. 135.6 passer rating when targeted was third overall, and 31st in he had 31 explosive plays. That is tied 11th. For a guy of his size to be up in the top 15 for explosive plays while at the same time having a great downfield passer rating and not the deepest route running is pretty impressive, because it goes to show you that on those deep routes, he is able to have explosive plays. And you see that on tape. The guy has been averaging upwards of over 15 yards per catch his three seasons at Stanford. Just going down the list from Pro Football Reference, he averaged 15.8 in 2016, 16.3 in 17, and 2018 he had 16.8 yards. And in those three seasons, caught 28 touchdowns. Last season alone, caught 14. Without J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and without a quarterback who really was a passing quarterback, this team would have been in the gutter from the get-go. But a team that was going into the season with Bryce Love as a run-heavy team had to transition into a passing team just because they had J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Bryce Love was a non-factor with his injury. And I believe that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to mold and shift into that wide receiver one sooner or later. And there are many people who believe the same. I always refer to the Travis Sikkema comparison of Marquise Colston, Travis Sikkema of the Draft Network, during draft season, that he reminds him and can very much become a Marquise Colston light. And I absolutely see that in his game. He's going to make you pay across the middle of the field. He's a big body. He could take hits. He's great at contested catches. He's sneaky with his separation. If he gets on your back hip, he's going to put those arms out there, and Carson just has to drop him a gem just where he can catch it. And I believe by every ounce of my imagination that there are going to be some big plays. I'm already picturing it. You have double Zach Ertz, you got Alshon Jeffrey in single coverage, you have DeSean Jackson out there, you have Dallas Goedert out there, and then you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the fifth option in that. Just think of that. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is your fifth passing option. And he could even be behind Nelson Agholor, and if you want to get Miles Sanders involved out of the backfield, he could be your sixth or seventh option at that point. So for a guy that's going to be defended by these big nickel safeties, these third and fourth cornerbacks, I expect J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to have a hell of a season. I fully expect, with a quarterback of Carson Wentz's caliber, that J.J. can be in the discussion for Offensive Rookie of the Year. May that be a stretch? It could be, but I believe 100% in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I have to get the video off of my girlfriend's phone of me reacting to that pick, because the pure joy and satisfaction I had out of knowing what was to come with the connection of Carson Wentz and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside absolutely put me over the moon. And if you aren't familiar with him, please go back and watch his tape. It is an absolute gem to watch. His ability to close in quick on defenders off of the line of scrimmage, has a sneaky good ability to get off the line with his basketball background. He gets up the stem, he plays physical at the top of his routes, sneaky separation, and when he doesn't separate, he's going to use his background in basketball. His parents were very good athletes in their own right, and he got that gene passed down to him. He's an absolute gem of a character. He was interning for Condoleezza Rice when she was in the cabinet. The guy is everything you want in a player, and I 100% without a doubt believe that he is going to come into this season and be one of the dark horse candidates to have his name up in lights when this season is all said and done. So that was the long one. We're going to get into the two final dark horses in segment three when we come on back to the final segment of this July 10th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. So stick with me, guys. Welcome on back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to our final segment of this July 10th, Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Still in the dead period, folks. I know it's a grind to get to the NFL season, but we are so close. I felt like it was just yesterday we watched Alshon Jeffrey drop that ball, but then for the Saints to go on and lose in their own stadium in overtime the way they did was kind of a bit of a redemption, but It's time for the Eagles to get the redemption. We are so close. We have passed the draft. We have passed OTAs. We are a few weeks from training camp and just a few weeks from the first preseason game of your 2019 Philadelphia Eagles. And there are some other names that I have that are going to make their name known this season. And one of the guys who I said was going to be a toss-up for this Eagles team just to even make the roster, but a guy who does make the roster, and I believe and have seen that he's fully capable of doing so, Trey Sullivan. As much as I may knock the kid's game, I believe that that third safety position is his to lose. I believe that Sendejo is very dispensable at this current point in time with the belief that they can get that fourth round comp pick in 2020. I see no need to keep him on board. Trey Elston, he is a veteran safety that he's going to be in there in camp. He's going to get all the opportunity in the world to compete for safety three. But the young gun, the young bull, Trey Sullivan, he's going to have an opportunity to go out there in 2019 and take that Corey Graham position and make it his own. I know it's not the greatest position to say, the Corey Graham position, but safety three is a very important position for Jim Schwartz as he runs outside of base 75% of his defense. So he is going to be, that safety three position is going to be on the field for quite some time. Trey Sullivan had an up and down season last year. We'll just call a spade, that's how it is. But he got so much better as the year went on. You just look at how he did down the stretch. PFF in the playoff game against Chicago graded him out at 90.3, and in coverage alone, he graded out at an 86.7, and in tackling an 83.3. That is elite level play in a playoff game on the biggest stage against a Chicago team that you knew you were going to be on the road. You knew you were going to have a difficult task coming in there against that defense, against an offense that was clicking throughout most of the year. And Trey Sullivan went out there and had a game. And yes, he had a rocky season. He was up and down. There were many plays that he should have had. But he got it done when he needed to. He went out there and produced. In that Chicago game alone, he had 3 passes defended with 4 tackles. In the playoffs total, he had 10 tackles, which is very good for a first-year player, especially in a position as highly utilized and as highly of importance as that third safety position, because they leave those guys out there in space a lot of the time. They leave them out there on an island with Malcolm Jenkins playing so close to the line. These safeties, you're going to play one high, two high a majority of the time, seeing that your cornerbacks didn't help them out too much. Trey Sullivan was left to fend for himself a lot of the time. Did it hurt him? Yes, but now that they're going to have a healthy Rodney McLeod, which he did not have a majority of the year last year, I believe that he is going to come onto this team. He's going to go out into training camp, be the young gun, be the guy that is just a flash, a step better than Andrew Sendejo, a step better than Trey Elston, and a guy that is going to go out there and deserve minutes, and rightfully so. He produced in the playoffs when he needed to. He came out on the biggest stage with a lot of pressure on him. A lot of people, including Lou and I, were calling for his head to never see him play an NFL game. I'm pretty sure I said that at one point in time, that I never wanted to see him on the field ever again, which was kind of drastic, but he went out and proved the doubters wrong, and that's what these dark horse candidates are going to have to do. And Trey Sullivan, he's number two for me. I fully believe he could be safety three, especially with a lot of these outlying factors, such as Sendejo's ability to cut him and get a fourth round comp pick, them not going out and drafting a safety. I fully believe they love what they have in-house, and a lot of that has to do with Trey Sullivan. And our good friend Andrew DiCecco over at the Eagles Wire has written some incredible articles, gotten some great insight into Trey Sullivan, the person who he is, the game that he plays. So if you want to go check it out, go check out his Patreon. I will always subscribe you to go check out Andrew's work. Great friend, can absolutely identify good football players. And Trey Sullivan is one of them. And one guy that we've mentioned time and time again, but he kind of gets thrown by the wayside because he is at a position of absolutely deep depth. Coming out today, Daniel Jeremiah said that the Eagles had the best offensive line and defensive line skill and depth in the NFL, and I full-heartedly believe so as well. Your fourth defensive tackle, Trayvon Hester, this is my final guy. I believe he is going to have a great season. Last year, PFF graded him out as the 14th best defensive tackle in football. Just think about that for a second. In 12 games played, he graded out better than guys such as Eddie Goldman, Jarrell Casey, Cam Hayward, Kawan Short, Geno Atkins, A'shaun Robinson, Damon Harrison, Steven Tuitt, Sheldon Rankins, DeForest Buckner, Marcell Dareus, and Ndamukong Suh. We could go on. Gerald McCoy. This list goes on and on. And Trayvon Hester was right up there with some of the biggest names. And what leads me to believe that he cannot go out there and produce at a higher rate than he did in 2018? One factor. He's now going to be that fourth defensive tackle. He's going to be paired with Tim Jernigan, who at one point was a starter. And in those minutes when Trayvon Hester is able to rotate in there with Fletcher Cox, he's going to wreak havoc. In run defense alone, he was graded out at an 85. In his pass rush, he was at a 74.7. Both of those are very good to elite statistics for an interior defensive lineman, and it goes to show you why he graded out so well and why he's at the top, because he was an unsung hero for this team. A lot of people were saying they don't know how he got to waivers for the Eagles to even claim him in the first place, but he went out there and showed why the Eagles went out and got him in the first place, especially at a position that they had so much depth. Trayvon Hester should be, by all rights, your fourth defensive tackle. There's no reason that Hassan Ridgeway should play ahead of him if he can replicate what he did last year. You think he's going to be another year older, another year wiser, another year stronger, paired with a better defensive line than they had in 2018 and 2017, realistically, if you're looking at on paper. This team is going to be good, and it's going to be because of guys like Trayvon Hester. If you have your fourth defensive tackle playing at an elite level all season long, when November, December, January comes, your defensive line's beaten up, Hester's going to have to take 35 to 40% of the snaps. You got to believe in a guy who graded out so well. He flashed on tape. He made plays in pass rush. He made plays in run defense. He's going to be coupled with Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, who is arguably the best run defenseman at the edge position for this Eagles team before he was hurt. Now you're bringing him back to have an even stronger run defense. I can't imagine teams running on this team at any point during the game. When Fletcher Cox comes out, when Malik Jackson comes out, oh man, now you got Tim Jernigan and Trayvon Hester to worry about. Maybe with Hassan Ridgeway, you got Josh Sweat on the other end, Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham. This defensive line unit is just going to flow guys in there like they always like to do, keep legs fresh, and a guy such as Trayvon Hester is going to be a household name soon enough because, man, if he can do what he did last year, you're going to be hearing about him, not just in Philadelphia, but all around the NFL, because he's a dark horse in my eyes, and he should be now in your category of players to watch in this upcoming season. And hopefully, guys, you got some good news and good info out of this show. As always, this was a fun one, breaking down the players that I believe could be and are going to have a big impact on this 2019 Philadelphia Eagles team, which has so much depth, so much star power right now. I can't wait to see these guys on the field. I can't wait to see what Doug Peterson has drummed up. Can't wait to see what Jim Schwartz does with a lot of his new defensive weapons. And I'm just excited to be an Eagles fan, because it's always a great day being an Eagles fan. It's always a great day having you guys listen to us here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Lou and I are going to get back to it 2 days the rest of the week coming up here, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll have two more shows, two of those days this week. Can't wait to get back with Lou in the booth. Can't wait to see some actual football. Can't wait for you guys to go download and subscribe the Locked On Eagles podcast on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you guys can find us, we are there. Go look for us. Go type it into Google. We're always doing some good written work. We got merchandise on TeePublic. Keep a lookout for us, guys. Locked On Eagles, we're here to stay. The birds are here to stay. This, hopefully, dynasty is here to stay for many years with how this roster is constructed, with the depth that they have, with the star power. It's exciting time to be an Eagles fan. It's always a great day to be an Eagles fan. And fly, Eagles, fly. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to @Gino_LOE on Twitter, @DiBiaseLOE on Twitter, @LockdownBirds on Twitter as well. So thank you, guys. As always, I'm Gino Camilleri, your host, signing off on this fine Wednesday evening. Go enjoy that nice weather. Go enjoy it before the fall weather kicks in and we have NFL football. I'm excited. You guys should be excited too. So have a great night.